out of town on a boat going to Southern Islands, sailing to reach before a following sea. She was making for the trades on the outside and the downhill run to Papeete. Off the wind on this heading lie the Marquesas. You got 80 feet of a water line. Nicely making way in a noisy bar in Avalon. I tried to call you, but on a midnight watch I realized why twice you ran away. Think about
how many times I had.
Southern Cross for the first time, you understand now why you came this way. 'Cause the truth you might be running from is so small, but it's as big as the promise of a coming day. So I'm sailing for tomorrow, my dreams are a-dying. And my love is an anchor tied to you,
tied with a silver chain.
I have my ship and all her flags are a-flying. She is all that I have left,
and music is her name.
Think about
how many times I have fallen. Spirits are using me, Lord, your voice.
And we never failed to fail. It was the easiest thing to do. You will survive being bested. Somebody fine will come along, make me forget about loving you. In the Southern Cross.
Well, welcome to the Situation Report. My apologies for being late. I couldn't get the studio set up. For whatever reason, it would set up. I'd start getting ready to go live and it would crash. So another 30 minutes of cursory IT setup. Of course, little Crosby, Still and Nash. Crosby, Still and Nash, they had such a good catalog. It's like you play one, you're like, I got to play that one. I should play this one. I should play that one. So much good music. And it just felt appropriate today. So much going on. There's let's just see. Let's start with the drone thing, because that seems to be consuming my day and consuming a lot of the information that's coming across the wire. You know, we don't know whose drones they are. This whole, first of all, the congressman that went on CNN and ran his mouth doesn't know the square root of shit about anything. And I doubt, highly doubt, what, let me ask you a question. Why would Iran, who just lost their land bridge to Syria, lost most of the Hezbollah leadership that they were supporting for the last 10 years, why would they sail a ship over to the U.S. and then fly drones over New Jersey? Why would they do that? And then the other question is, you're telling me that with all the naval assets we have and subs and attack subs that are doing patrols on our coast, you're telling me that none of them picked up that ship? Nobody can see it on satellite? But there's just too many parts of the story that just don't add up. My conjecture is that it's our stuff that's being flown around and they're trying to set up for some kind of a false flag. That would be my first indication before anything else, because the people that are running the show right now are like rats jumping off of a ship. When Chris Wray resigns before January, it means there was some serious malfeasance going on at the FBI. And they know that when Kash Patel is confirmed, heads are going to roll. And more importantly, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be held accountable when he comes to town. And I'm talking within the FBI. And it would be helpful for us to have a functioning DOJ so that we could go after some of the malfeasance. And a couple other pieces to this that we should keep. Well, I guess the best way to say is a couple other things to keep your eye on. And one of those is, what is Trump doing? Because hopefully Trump's keeping a low profile. Right? There's a lot of video on Twitter about Mar-a-Lago last night and a bunch of speeches. I don't know how much of that's true, because there's no date time stamps on Twitter videos, just like there's no date time stamps on any of the TikTok videos. So you don't know what you're seeing. You don't know how old it is. A lot of videos keep getting cycled over and over again. Look, until Trump comes into office, until his nominations are confirmed, and until they actually take office, it's all noise. Every bit of it is noise. I don't even know why you're paying attention to it, because between now and then, a lot can happen. And Syria is a perfect example of that. Look at how fast Syria went down. Now, an interesting thing that I think we talked about on the roundtable on Monday was that Alex Craner was on a YouTube. I can't find the video. Alex, I watched this whole video. Somebody sent it to me, and it was Alex Craner talking about the Russians lured the U.S., Israel, et cetera, into Syria, and they architected for the Syrian army to basically retreat and give up their positions to draw them into a situation like Afghanistan in the 1980s. So if you don't know anything about the Russian invasion of Afghanistan in 1980, I highly suggest you go look at that whole situation and a lot of the analysis that's come out since then. But more importantly, the other thing to pay attention to is all of the things that we did and precipitated during that time frame to bring about the collapse in 91. We did a lot of things all at the same time that we were doing to the Soviet Union, the then Soviet Union, now Russia, to bring about the collapse of the Communist Party. One of those things was we enticed them and lured them into Afghanistan. And we did it, CIA did it through a number of operations. And then we created the Mujahideen, which is now ISIS, which is now Al-Qaeda, which is all these other groups. And we funded the same thing that we've been trying to, quote unquote, eradicate with the war on terror. And the whole thing from start to finish was a lie. The whole thing in Syria, start to finish, is starting to add up to be a lie. There's too many different mechanisms that are in place right now that have been put in play that don't add up. Like you're telling me guys on bikes and in basically pickups with high caliber weapons are the ones that brought about the defeat of the Syrian army that had fought a civil war for 10 years. I mean, it's possible, plausible, but there's a lot about that doesn't make any sense. And most importantly, there's a lot about that I just plain doesn't make sense. Let's just keep it there. But at the end of the day, a lot of what we're seeing right now is all noise. It is literally you're watching the changing of the guard, number one, and number two, you're watching theater. Almost everything you see is theater. Until we have functioning agencies, it's all BS, all of it. And I've been handed probably 50 different stories today, and you know, people want my opinion. My opinion is it's all bullshit. There's too much bullshit. Stop listening to the bullshit. I mean, just God, if you go out to Twitter, this is how fucked up Twitter is. And this is the part that I've been trying to say for months, but it bears repeating. There's two columns when you log into Twitter. There's on the left, on the top, there's a tab for you. And that's all of the algorithms, all the AI, everything else combined, put together that fills your feed. Then there's following. And following are people you actually follow. And here's the amazing part about following anything on Twitter. They highly shadow ban everybody that I follow. In fact, guys from the round table, Matt Everett, Clay Martin, Joe Dolio, all those guys, they're all censored. I have to physically search for them. Even Tom Luongo, I have to physically search for them. And then everything I see on the For You tab, literally everything is some liberal fucking trope that I wouldn't even search for on my best day. My whole feed, everything that's picked by X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, the whole feed is liberal tropes generated by AI. It's retarded. And you're telling me that everything you see there is real? Most of it is just blatant bullshit. Yeah. That's exactly what I think of Twitter. It's a toxic fuckhole of stupid. And what amazes me is everybody that sends me something, almost everybody, I should say, I should make a blanket statement like that. A bulk of what I get is garbage that people are trying to figure out, is this real, if this is not. I'm going to go back to what I said a year ago. Assume everything you see is a lie and work your way backwards towards the truth. That didn't stop because Trump was elected. In fact, that should generate more questions. It should make you really wonder what not only is coming out of Trump's mouth, but what's coming out of everybody else's mouth and what's being published online is all BS, and you should work your way back towards the truth. There's so much noise in the system. There's so much censorship in the system that no matter which way you turn, you're going to find some kind of propaganda no matter where you are. And Twitter is filled with it. And the fact that they're shadow banning everybody, remember, freedom of speech, not freedom of reach. They haven't turned that off. Musk hasn't doxxed anybody from the FBI, the CIA, or DHS that was on the payroll when he started. I don't even think he's fired him. So let me ask you a question. What has changed? Nothing has changed. Nothing. And I don't trust anything on YouTube. Anything. And I'll tell you why I don't. I don't trust anything on YouTube because it's highly censored. I mean, the interview I did with Tom Luongo on Coffee and a Mic literally lasted 2 minutes. But yet Sean Ryan could do a 6-hour fucking interview and talk about UFOs, and other people could post out there and they don't get censored at all. That should be a red flag. 6-hour interview talking about UFOs. And yet 2 minutes of me and Tom Luongo gone. And we don't have nearly the reach. That should be a red flag for everybody. But yet every single day I get these just barrage of YouTube videos. Half the stupid shit I don't watch. Like my favorite is the stuff I get about Ben Fulford and the stuff that's in a channel on Rumble, like Nacera, Jacera. It's all on the same channel. I'm like, yeah, I'm buying all this. I mean, it should be a very, very loud red flag that the censorship hasn't changed and people are already believing that everything's different. Nothing's changed. Nothing, not one thing. It's all the same control grid. It's all the same censorship. In fact, they've increased their reach, if anything, by arresting the creator and owner of Telegram. They've captured Telegram too. And do you honestly think that they're going to turn off the censorship? I could tell you, I'm already banned in Europe on Twitter because I called Tedros a fucking terrorist and said he should be hung for treason and crimes against humanity. Because the guy is a fucking terrorist. But literally within 5 minutes of me posting that, you're banned in Europe. Twitter has banned you in Europe. All of Europe. Not part of Europe. All of Europe. So nothing's changed. And there are people that, I kid you not, that literally think that Elon Musk is the savior of free speech. Let me just get this out of the way. I don't trust Musk at all. I think he's a snake. I think Mr. Space Guy, his whole job, and this is what I said the week that he announced he was buying Twitter. And I have not moved off of this, and I will not move off of this until I see empirical evidence of the opposite of what I'm about to say. I think Musk was put in place to buy Twitter so that they could lure people back to Twitter and make it the town hall, the de facto town hall, and then they could censor and monitor and collect on everybody. Because remember, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, they're all CIA operations, all of them. They're all controlled by the agencies. They're all operated by the agencies. They're controlled operations. And that didn't stop when Musk took over. They realized that they couldn't keep it resuscitated because so many people had jettisoned off of the platform that they had to do something. And Musk is he's the new face in town. I mean, it should tell you something. This guy was a lifelong Democrat, and then all of a sudden he's at Mar-a-Lago every week. He's like Trump's biggest cheerleader. Yeah, he said some things that are true. He's released some information that's true. But has he done anything about it? Has he challenged the intelligence agencies? I would say no. And if you look at Syria and you look at the relationship between MI6, Mossad, and the CIA, you will see one very, very amazing thing. All roads lead back to Tel Aviv. All roads lead back to the city of London. None of them lead back to Langley. Not from a decision standpoint, from an action standpoint, absolutely. But all the decisions come out of the city of London and come out of Tel Aviv. That should tell you that it's a controlled operation, and there's absolutely no information in there. It should also be a very, very loud statement that if if this is true, and I saw this on Twitter, and I haven't validated if it's true or not, but last night or two nights ago, there was a group of Jewish Americans singing the Israeli national anthem at Mar-a-Lago. I don't know about you, but I didn't vote for Israel to run our country. And if that's Trump's alignment, I can guarantee you he'll be the most despised man in American history in a very short period of time. Because the victim card, the anti-Semitic card that they've been playing for 2 years is running out. And they've only got a little bit of runway before it completely runs out. And they may be able to disrupt operations that the enemy has over the next several months, but I don't think they're going to be able to sustain it. Because we don't have the military capability or the ability right now to mount any kind of a major offensive, let alone to take on anybody head to head. And we don't have nearly the supplies that we need to supply any of our allies at the same time. Either way, wait till Trump gets in office and see what he does. I think it's interesting that everybody's gone to Mar-a-Lago to kiss the ring. I think it's interesting that all of the national leaders that are in charge right now that are aligned with the U.S. all have been to the wall and kissed the wall in Jerusalem. And that is a very loud statement. And what kills me is, I don't know why anybody's not asking the question. Why isn't somebody asking the question, hey, Mr. Trump, why are you blowing Israel all the time? Because I thought you were American. This isn't make Israel great again. This is make America great again, right? Isn't that your slogan? Make America great again? It really, really does seem like Israelis are running the show. But let's see how things develop and see what happens once he takes office. He might just be, you know, placating people just to get into office. We don't know. We honestly don't know what the deal is there. And I'm not going to, you know, put my cards on the table and say and go all in and say it's one way or another. It's too early to tell. I could tell you I don't like what I'm seeing. But that doesn't mean that it's going to go that way. And there's other pieces at play here, too. So we'll have to see how everything plays out before we start catastrophizing. I still think there's a lot of room for hope. And I say that because all of the things that all these, the satanic people, the satanic group, the Zionist group, all everything they've been trying to do has been falling apart. I don't see everything coming together the way they want. And, you know, there was a post on Twitter today that I thought was very, very interesting. It was basically let's see if I can pull it up here. I reposted it because it was very interesting. It was literally AI. I think it was Grok. Yeah, it was Grok. So somebody asked Grok what the end times look like, and it's on my Twitter feed. It's a 4-minute video, talks about how the Zionists and the Kabbalistic Council, which I thought was a great name, rules the world, and it's basically a dystopian nightmare. I don't see that happening. And they're saying 2030 to 2042. That's a long ways away. A lot can happen in that period of time. Here's what I know. I don't get wrapped up in the conjecture around the way things are going to be, the way things should be, the way things, you know, might be. I'm looking forward and I'm visualizing the world that I want to live in. I'm not visualizing some dystopian nightmare. And the reason why I say that is that every 100 years, some asshole comes along and wants to rule the world. And every single time there's a major conflict, there's a fourth turning, and we reset the planet to a certain extent, and everybody goes about their business. I know human nature. And I know that even with all the technology in the world, even with the best laid plans, even with a host of, let's just say, advancements, enhancements, and advantages. They always lose. It never works out in the end. And that's because Spirit has a play in this. And Spirit's been actively involved in this, disrupting their plans, outing their plans. And I don't see that stopping. Because there's got to be balance, right? And there's no balance right now. It's so everything's tilted so far to one side. You're seeing the pendulum come back the other way. And that's exactly what it is. The pendulum's coming back the other way. But yeah, he's going to invite Xi to his inauguration. Look, you got to realize the president's a diplomat as much as he's the commander in chief. And China's a trading partner. I hate to break this to you, Paul, but the Chinese own a shitload of real estate in this country. They own beef production. They own pork production. They own farmland. You honestly think he's going to snub Xi at his inauguration? Doesn't mean Xi's going to come, but it means he's going to be invited. And look, at the end of the day, we don't know what's going to happen on January 20th. In fact, we don't even know if we're going to make it to January 20th. With all the rhetoric and all the things that they're trying to put into place, yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. So talk to your enemies as much as you talk to your friends. And right now, I don't know who the fuck our friends are. Not Israel. It's not Europe. It's definitely not Ukraine. In fact, the only people that I think he should really be talking to right now is the Russians. And he should be brokering a deal. The moment he steps into office, raises his right hand, give the speech, say some novenas, and then go sign the peace declaration. Day one. That should be what he's doing. And I'm sure that's what he's doing in the background. Then I can tell you what I'd say to that evil little Keebler elf in the sweater. Buy a suit, cut your hair, sell your property, and get ready to get smoked. Because as soon as the ink's dry, you, my friend, are going to be a pink mist. That's what I would say. And then I would look over at all of his generals and say, you better save as many Ukrainian men as possible. Because if you don't, you're fucked. And then I would tell BlackRock to stay the fuck out of there, along with everybody else that wants to go in there and carpetbag. And I would set conditions so that Europe had to provide all the loans to rebuild Ukraine, because they're the pricks that got everybody into it. That would be day one. Day two, I would take the 82nd Airborne Brigade into Washington, D.C., and I would start arresting everybody. NGOs, law firms, anybody doing public-private partnerships, any NGOs doing public-private partnerships, most of Congress, all of DOJ, all of the FBI, most of DHS, I would arrest all of them. Day two. And day three, for all the BlackRock executives and Vanguard executives and New York bankers that were still around and mafia leads, they would be day three. And it would be swift, decisive, and very, very, very quiet. It wouldn't be broadcast all over the news, but the trials would be. And those trials would be very public, and they would all be at Gitmo. And no one is above the law. But I'm not Trump. So we'll see what he does. I think it's very interesting that the pharma execs flew over here to the U.S. I think it's very interesting that we're seeing the cracks in the pavement in communist China, and that Xi has lost control of the military. If that's true, which it potentially could be, that's a significant tectonic shift in not just the Chinese Communist Party, but it's a tectonic shift for the rest of the world. Because at the end of the day, at some point, China's going to have to deal, or Russia's going to have to deal with China. They can't continue to grow in population size. they can't continue to spread out across the planet. And the same holds true for the whole Zionist conversation. They can't continue to destroy every place in the world. And this concept that they want to destroy and kill off as many Slavs as they can so they can move into Ukraine, I don't know if that's true. Yeah, just because somebody wrote a paper doesn't mean it's true. But like everything else, I look at the possibility and the plausibility. And just because it seems outrageous, just because it seems extreme, just because it seems like it couldn't possibly happen, doesn't mean it can't. It doesn't mean you shouldn't look at it and evaluate it, regardless of how outlandish it may seem. And if you look at current events, I would say there's not a lot of things that are pretty outlandish right now, because we've seen it all, with the exception of, you know, alien invasion. But even that's on the table right now. So the bigger picture here is, wait to see what happens with Trump. Assume that everything you see is bullshit. Work your way backwards towards the truth. Don't let down your guard. Don't spend any amount of time wondering what's real or what's not real. Assume it's not and work your way backwards. And in every case, you will see that more and more information develops the farther away you get away from that event. And I mean, the shooter thing, that's developing. I would say that there's pictures released of the shooter as well as the kid that they arrested. The facial structure doesn't match. There's already questions about that. And he's already said that there was evidence planted on him. We all talked about a patsy. We all talked about that. And I think that there's a high probability he's probably a patsy. No matter what the case is, let it develop. Give it about 48 more hours. You'll see some more interesting things come out. My point is, it's probably BS, but we have to backward, you know, trace backwards to figure out what the truth really is. And I think that there's a lot more to that story. Just because I heard Pelosi's name, there's a lot more to that story than remains to be seen. And this is exactly why we need a functioning DOJ. Because if we had a functioning DOJ and Pelosi was affiliated with any part of that story, then you would definitively see an investigation and a special counsel stood up. And that's exactly what needs to happen now. All of her financial transactions need to go under extreme scrutiny, and they need to climb through her ass with a microscope. And let's see where the money came from, Nancy. And then if it turns out that any bit of it's fraudulent, then they seize all of her assets and they put her in prison for however many, you know, years she's got left. She's what, 86? There's a reason why we should have term limits. There's a reason why we shouldn't let mob bosses expire. We should make them retire. But instead, mob bosses are allowed to stay in office until they expire. That is beyond reasonable. Now it's a time to change term limits, to change the ability to influence, to change the way we structure our cities so that there can't be mega counties that dominate the landscape and dominate the election cycle. Every county should be no more than 1 million people. And if there's a county that likes 10 million people, you break it up into 10 counties. And that's the way it's got to be. Good, bad, or indifferent. But if we had a functioning DOJ, Nancy Pelosi would have been under scrutiny years ago. But this should tell you how long this has been going on. And while all of that's going on, we're also seeing the decay and the breakdown of our civilization all at the same time. The moral fiber, the physical fiber, the ethical fiber, and the cultural fibers are all starting to fray. When we see things And by the way, this will not be the last CEO that's murdered. This will not be. There's too much animus now. And look, I'm going to go back to something I said in the sit round or on the round table on Monday night. You have to ask yourself a question. Why is it that we haven't heard anything from any of the families in Maui? Why is it that we haven't had a body count from Maui? Why is it that nobody's even discussing what's going on in Maui? Why is it that nobody's discussing what's going on in North Carolina? Why is it that we don't have an accurate body count from North Carolina? I'll tell you why. Because the entire establishment that should be reporting on this is completely broken. And because of that, any investigative journalism that's going on is being swept under the rug. And all of that needs to come to light. Because I think it's very interesting that Trump and J.D. Vance both go to North Carolina, but nobody went to fucking Maui. What about the Hawaiian people? What about the residents of Lahaina? What about them? And more importantly, who's going to take over FEMA and bust heads? Because they need to go in there and bust heads and throw people out wholesale. And I'll tell you what I do. So they just signed an agreement with all the federal employees to say that you can work from home. Okay. Day one. You can work from home as long as you want. I'm putting you on administrative leave and half pay until you come back in the office, regardless of your agreement. Because your terms of hire were X. And I would put them all on administrative leave and cut their fucking access that day. And then I would go through FEMA and figure out exactly what happened in Maui and what happened in North Carolina. And I would fire everybody associated with that, right down to the fucking janitor. And I would not stop until I had all of the emails and email threads, as well as all the communication threads, all the way back to day one. And I would do that with the FBI, with NSA, everybody. I would collect receipts on all of it. And I would find the belly button that was responsible for it. And that would be a very public trial. That's what the American people expect right now. And the reason why I keep saying it is because nobody else is saying it. Everybody's, Trump won. Everything is awesome. Yeah, Trump might have won, but he needs to go to D.C. with a fucking mandate. You work for the American people. You don't work for Israel. And if you don't do what we want, you'll be the most despised man in American history. That's what needs to happen. And I've said this before and it bears repeating. I don't give a shit about politicians. You know, somebody said to me, the Arizona politicians don't trust me. Good. I don't trust any of them. They're all a bunch of fucking mouthpieces. And if Wendy Rogers is indicative of the caliber of person that's in office in Arizona, you should all be fucking scared to death. Because if it was up to me, I would climb up your ass and go through your entire life for campaign finance violations. And I would throw every one of you in jail because I know that you all have a mountain of campaign finance violations. I don't give a shit who you are. If you're in public office, your job is to do the right thing, even if it means your life. That's why you take the oath. Your job is not to stay there and to make excuses about why you're impotent. Do the fucking job we sent you there to do. Represent the people. There is no other answer. And that's exactly what Trump needs to hear. That's exactly what Vance needs to hear. But more importantly, that's what all these fucking oligarchs need to hear. Get the fuck out of the way. You're not in charge. Just because you have money doesn't mean you get to dictate how the country's going to run. Doesn't mean you get to dictate what's good for the American people. Doesn't mean you get to say how things should be in the U.S. Sit the fuck down. Shut the fuck up. Have another margarita. And don't speak until somebody speaks to you. That's the message the American people sent on November 5th. And that's exactly what they all need to hear. All of them. This whole, I've got to be diplomatic and nice. Fuck that. I'm done playing nice. I'm done being diplomatic. I'm done sitting here and listening to people say, you know, get on board for the big win. Go fuck yourself. You want me to get on board for the big win? Then do your fucking jobs. Do what you're supposed to do. Out the fucking criminals and the crime families in DC. Out the AIPAC fucking handlers. Out the agency people that are in all of our, every single one of our newsrooms and media outlets and social media. And then start managing the budget. Until then, go fuck yourselves. Do your fucking job. I'm not going to make nice. I'm not going to kowtow to anybody's fucking ego. And I'm definitively not going to sit back and have somebody tell me just to get on board and go along with the program. The fucking program that you motherfuckers are trying to get me to go along with, that's the one that got us here. So why don't you unfuck yourselves and get off of that program and get on the program that's for the people, by the people, about the people, and of the people. Instead of for the oligarchs, by the oligarchs, of the oligarchs, and for every fucking oligarch. That's my answer for that. And I think it's very interesting that a lot of these guys that were on that train, you know, the Patriot train or the Playtriot train or whatever the fuck you want to call it, the Q train. I mean, people are still posting fucking Q posts. Get the fuck out of here with that. Fucking Q posts. It was a psyop. The people that are posting that shit, the guys that were making money off that, their viewership is dropping like a rock. Why? Very simple. None of it's real. The point of all this is, do not pay attention to the noise, because the noise does three things. One, it keeps you in an agitated state. Two, it creates fear. And three, it generates an emotional response. Those are all the things that the elite need to manipulate you. When you step out of that and you step out of the noise and you step out of all the conjecture and you wait for things to develop, you'll see the truth, or at least enough of the truth to make an informed decision, an informed opinion. When you're involved in the day-to-day, get involved and just watch the evening news. The evening news is designed to agitate you and generate fear. That's what it's all about. It's not about anything else. So when you step away from that and you take a step back and you start doing just some basic reflection, guess what happens? You don't get wrapped up in that. Stop caring about the things that you used to care about. Stop looking at things as if it's black and white. And then you start to see what it really is. It's a grift. Most of it's just a grift. And then you stop giving a shit about impressing people you didn't give a fuck about in the first place. You know, if you've never watched the movie Fight Club, I suggest you go watch the movie Fight Club. There's a line in there. Ed Norton has the best line that I've heard in generations. Spend your whole life working your ass off to impress people you don't give a fuck about. Buying shit to make yourself happy and to impress other people when you don't need any of it. When you step back from all the noise, that is exactly what you see. Stuff stops being important. Pomp and circumstance stops being important. The politics and the social order stops being important. And you realize that it's all a facade to manage you and to manage your behavior for somebody else. And the moment I stepped away from things 2 years ago, after November 8th of 2022, everything came in focus. I stopped trying to impress you know, stop trying to, in fact, I cold turkey stopped communicating with just about every politician here in Arizona. Because I realized when Carrie Lake lost, I heard a bunch of noise, I heard a bunch of words, and I saw zero action. And the thing that really got under my skin was the fact that Carrie Lake entrusted her campaign to somebody from the Trump camp, and they fired everybody on her staff and let them all go home the day of the election. And she still had a war chest that she could have used to fight in the state of Arizona to fight the election results. But then she hired this fucking retard lawyer, and she spent all of her time in Mar-a-Lago. It blew any amount of trust I had. It blew any amount of respect I had, and it blew any amount of grace that I had left. And I'm like, why am I killing myself for this? I mean, I was doing literally weekly calls with politicians. I was doing weekly calls with Republicans. And I'm like, first of all, Kelly Ward was completely useless. Completely useless. That was the first red flag. Then there was the malfeasance with Maricopa County, and then the Maricopa County Sheriff. And then the top that off, and to make it worse, was Carrie Lake's actions. I'm like, I'm done with this. This system's broken and needs to die. I am no longer going to support this system. And trust me, I ate a lot of shit about it from just about everybody, including people that are still in that camp. People that are still in the Flynn camp, giving me a lot of shit because I don't sign up for the big win. That's exactly why I didn't do it. That's why I stepped back, because I saw all the words and no action. And I'm like, this is a losing train. There's no unity here. There's no consensus. There's no trust. But more importantly, there's no action. And once I stepped away from it, I took a couple of weeks and stepped away from it, started looking at all the different things I was hearing and seeing and all the things I'd heard over all that time and what actually happened. This is all bullshit. It's all delay, delay, delay. Obfuscate, delay, obfuscate, delay, interdict, delay, obfuscate. All the same shit, all the time. That's what we're seeing right now. But a funny thing happened once I stepped out of that cycle. I saw all of the prompts, all the triggers, all the narrative that amps people up and keeps them in a heightened emotional state. And it was a wake-up call. And because of that, that's why I say, let things develop, see what actually happens, see what people actually do, and then make a decision. But stay out of the emotional space. Because if you're in the emotional space, they can manipulate you. And they do. Now, I'm not talking about Flynn himself. I'm talking about people that are in his orbit, that we're all trying to convince me to work with Arizona politicians. There's a bunch of them, not just one. There's a couple individuals. One of them's a fucking insurgent, but that's a whole separate story. The point is, I stepped away from that. And when I did, I saw things with clarity. And right now is one of those times where we should be resetting and regrouping. I'm not saying that just to say it. I'm saying that because anytime you're in country, you go back in your fob, you reset, try and get some sleep, reconstitute, and then you make plans for the next mission or the next engagement, whatever the case may be. Right now, the election gave us a pause. And it's a pause until either we get to the inauguration, or there's a false flag, or there's some other kind of event. What I keep hearing is that, especially from Alex Jones, and why am I listening to Alex Jones? I like to keep my finger on the pulse. And Alex Jones is talking about a major worldwide false flag. It's going to be blamed on Russia. I don't know how they could do that, because Russia has played the long game. They've been patient. It's like the Iranian drone thing. I don't buy into any of that bullshit either, because there's no reason for Iran to do that. If you're watching current events, Iran just got dealt a very serious blow. And that blow was their land bridge and their operational flow and tempo into Lebanon was severed in Syria. So they have to reconstitute, they have to reorganize and reorient. Why would they send a fucking ship over here to fly drones around New Jersey? Around DC, I could see that. Around some of our military bases, that could be anybody. In fact, I believe in California, they just arrested somebody, a Chinese guy, for flying a drone over one of our bases. But I also saw a video today of a Chinese exclusively Navy recruiting office that was all Chinese, speaking Mandarin, recruiting people for the United States Navy. What could possibly go wrong? That should be a red flag for everybody. They're recruiting Chinese nationals to go in the United States Navy. That means somebody in the leadership chain set up that Navy recruiting center, allowed them to conscript Chinese nationals or PLA for the United States Navy. That is a serious offense. That is Article 104, aiding the enemy under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. That is a capital punishment offense. And I would definitely find out who that belly button was. And I would take that all the way up to the admiral that gave that fucking order. And that motherfucker would go to Leavenworth that day. My point is, you see all this stuff happening around you. I don't know if any of that's true. I don't know if that's really true or if that was just some kind of AI driven or deep fake. I don't know. The point is, I've stepped back from the emotional space. I've stepped back from the cultural space, and I've stepped back from the entire news cycle because most of it's bullshit anyway. And I continue to try and hit the guardrails on Twitter to figure out exactly what the algorithms are doing. And I can tell you that they're active because my stuff gets maybe 4 or 5 views. It's ridiculous. Every once in a while, I'll get a response from somebody, like Jack Cruz responded to one of my posts the other day. But other than that, I maybe see 1 in 10 of the people I'm following. So I just take a step back and call it good. The point is, for all of you, the challenge right now is to reconstitute and continue to stay prepared, stay vigilant. But don't let it consume your life. Don't let it dominate your life. Be 80% ready 100% of the time, and you'll be good to go. Don't spend any time trying to figure out what it's going to be or how it's going to go, because none of us know that. None of us know if anything's going to happen. In fact, I would really rather imagine that I would think that Trump's going to go into office on January 20th, and then things will break loose, because Peter Hotez has already said we're going to release a ton of viruses that we've harvested and we've researched, and we're going to release them the moment Trump comes into office. Okay. You better hope that I'm not in DOD, motherfucker, because there'll be a kill order on you in about fucking 3 seconds. If you attack the U.S. like that, that is an act of war. And if you're a U.S. citizen and that's an act of war, guess what? The FBI rolls you up or military police roll you up, but somebody's rolling your ass up. Yeah, that's a fucking, he threatened the United States. He threatened the president of the United States. That's sedition in its purest form. Space Force. But we're back to that. I think that's, like I said, I'm waiting for the aliens to get off the ship in like New Jersey, or no, better yet, in Ohio, in like Cleveland, land at some park, talk to some kid that's like 5, that's pure of heart, doesn't have a filter. They put that kid on the news and it goes obscenely wild. It'd be fantastic. But yeah, we'll see. I just don't see it. And I don't see it because the system that we're facing is a machine. And it has been a machine that has been built, architected, and reinforced over the last 70 years. The only way that any change, real meaningful change, is going to happen is if the whole system crashes organically on its own. Or, like I said before, there's some kind of disclosure that happens completely outside of the control of the control grid that goes viral across the planet. Then the game's up. That's what I would love to see. But do I think I'm going to see it? No. But I think the ultimate would be, you know, multiple cities having a ship land and, you know, first contact made right there, completely outside of the system, completely organic and completely without any kind of script. That would be fucking epic to watch. Epic. And I would love for them to, you know, land somewhere by me. Then I could walk up to them and, you know, mentally, because of course none of them talk, they're all telepathic. Just say to them, what the fuck? Where the fuck have you been? You've been watching us for how long? All you had to do is park a ship over a couple of cities for a couple of hours, and guess what? Game over. But instead, nope. Get a glimpse. Then you're back through your fucking portal or whatever you're doing. Where have you been? So anyway, I'm being somewhat facetious, but the point is that's the only way the control grid will come to its knees, is if there's some kind of an off planet or organic collapse of the entire system. And that could potentially happen. I just don't see it happening right now. But I'm not holding on to that. Right now, I'm focused, and like the rest of you should be, I'm focused on being prepared, keeping my eye on the ball and living my life and enjoying the pause. That's what I'm doing right now. And that's what I suggest all of you do, and get away from the BS, because there's a lot of it. And with that, just about an hour, going to keep this under an hour. We'll be back next week with a round table. The guys are trying to figure out which night they can do it. I got all your feedback, and I'll leave with this. If you like what we're doing and you like what I'm doing, hit the follow button. That helps spread the word and helps put us in the feed, so people see the show. Spread the word about One Team, One Fight. Share the logo with people so they know that this is actually, you know, a fight good against evil, and that we're all in this together. And that the real enemy is not a different race, color, or creed. It's the elite. It's the people that have been running the show. And last but not least, if you have feedback for the show, if you have things that you want to see different on the show, if you have suggestions for how the show should go, I'd like to hear them. Because I am in the midst right now of building the other channel and the other media group for release next year. I'm not sure when that's going to be yet. It looks like late April, early May is when it's really going to happen from a logistics standpoint. I was targeting in January, but it's just going to be too soon. There's too many variables at play there. But my point of saying that, folks, is the new channel is called The Path Forward. I have somebody working on the intro for one of the shows right now. There'll be a bullpen of shows on that channel. There'll be a variety of topics. The whole point of the channel is going to be a call to action, as well as engagement. How do you engage in both your community and your neighborhood, and driving people to action? That's really what it's all about. We'll still have videos about preparedness and about, you know, topics like that, but it's not going to be the focus of it. We've spent the last 2 years preparing everybody. Now it's time to start driving everybody in a direction to bring the country out of this and to drive action across our country. But most importantly, to drive personal and civic responsibility as well as discipline. That's what we're missing in this country, purpose. And I wonder if I do one thing before I leave this planet, if I drive purpose across this country, and I drive the communities to start working together and people to start living, you know, towards selfless service, then that to me is a win. But at the end of the day, it's a call to action. So your feedback will be welcome. I'll be back on Monday night. Not sure when we're doing the roundtable. Till then, God bless everyone. One team, one fight.